All right, and we are going to turn in our Bibles to John chapter 17. John chapter 17, we're continuing to study about foundations, the foundations of the Christian life as I see it. We're studying about those on Wednesday evenings, of course, and we're on what I consider the fifth and final foundation of the Christian life. I think the Christian life is relatively simple. It's not easy, but it is relatively simple. It's Bible reading, prayer, getting involved in a local church, telling others about Jesus, and separating from the world. And sounds so simple. And it really is simple. It's just not easy to do because there's an enemy, of course, out to strive to keep us from doing it, Satan himself. And so we're talking about separation. And let's look at John 17 and beginning in verse number 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And let's have a word of prayer tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing upon the preaching of the word of God tonight. Father, we pray that you would take it and use it to stir us to righteousness, to get us to love you a little more, and to strive to please you a little better, because we have gathered here together tonight. Bless this message, we ask, to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As Christians, we are to be different than the world around us. The Bible makes no bones about it. We are to be light in the darkness. We are to be so different that we literally shine like a light compared to the darkness around us. And so, we are to be different from the world around us. Tonight, we'll talk about the very foundation of being different. And that is, as we mentioned last week, one of the areas that I think that we are called to be different in is the area of thinking. We are supposed to think differently than the world. Our thought processes are supposed to be different. We're supposed to have a different foundation for thinking, and we're supposed to view the world from a different perspective than the world or the unsaved view the world. And so being different begins with thinking differently. Tonight we'll talk about the very foundation of our thinking and why the Christian thinking should be fundamentally different than the world's thinking, namely because we should have different thoughts about the foundations of truth itself. So in other words, because we view truth differently and how you get to truth differently, therefore everything should be different about our thinking. And so the Bible, of course, teaches us that God's word is truth, that God is truth, Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, and that God cannot lie, the Bible says. Everything that he says, everything that he does is truth. And truth is reality. He, of course, sees things as they really are. And so when he speaks exactly the way things really are. This is truth. And so we have different thoughts about truth itself, or we should as Christians. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And that's because we believe God is the source of truth as Christians. And of course, that means his word is truth. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so as a Christian, God is the source of all truth and has revealed himself in the Bible, his word. He only speaks truth. That's it. And so anytime I want to evaluate the world around me on whether my thinking is in reality or delusional, I simply have to compare it to this book. If it agrees with this book, it's true. If it disagrees with this book, it's false. It's that simple, really. And because that is the fundamental belief of Christians. And you say, why do you believe the Bible is true? Well, there's many reasons, but the main reason is Jesus rose from the dead. And because Jesus rose from the dead, as God has said, and the Bible reveals that unto me, and I've experienced him personally in my life as the risen Savior, well, then I know that the book that tells me about him is God's Word. Furthermore, I can look at it and read his own life story and how he affirmed all that is in the Old Testament and affirmed that this was indeed God's Word. And so the point is, as a Christian, we accept that Jesus rose from the dead. Therefore, we accept the truth of the Bible. Therefore, we understand that it is the source, not of all truth, but it is the way in which we discern all truth on earth. In other words, it is how I try the spirits. We're commanded to try the spirits, and so different things and thoughts might cross my mind. How do I evaluate them? I evaluate them by this book right here. If they're in agreement with it, they are true. If they're in disagreement with it, they are false. All right? And so this is the concept. As a Christian, God is the source of all truth, and he has revealed himself in the Bible. Therefore, the Bible, being the Word of God, is the final authority for all of our faith and practice. Obviously, someone who does not accept the Bible as their final authority in life will think differently than us. I mean, that just should make sense. The Bible is my final authority. If the Bible is not someone else's, we're going to look at life in two totally different ways. I mean, you just can't come to the same perspective when you have a different view of where truth is revealed. And you just cannot. Now, the religious world outside of Christianity almost universally acknowledges that the Bible has much good but it denies it as the authority of life. If you talk to a Muslim, if you talk to a Hindu, if you talk to a Buddhist, if you talk to any religious person that is not a Christian, they will almost always say, well, the Bible has a lot of good in it, right? And so that's what they'll say. But they don't believe that it is the final authority. In reality, the religious world outside of Christianity tries to accept the Bible as good while denying the Bible's foundational teaching, the gospel itself. In other words, they try to say the Bible is good, but it is filled with lies. And let me just say, if you said to someone, boy, that's a good guy, but he's such a liar, it just doesn't fit, right? It just doesn't make sense. And that's why to be honest, anytime I meet a Muslim, I want them to tell me point blank they don't believe the Bible, because they don't, right? And so they say, oh, the Bible's a good book. And I said, you believe the Bible? Yes, I believe the Bible. I'll go to John 14:6. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. Do you believe that? No, I don't believe that. Right? That's how it goes. Why? Because they're trying to have their cake and eat it too. And this just does not work. Either the Bible is good and therefore it is true, or the Bible is filled with lies in its major premise, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and therefore it is not good. I think you can see that this is an indefensible position, which, in my opinion, reveals that their whole position is an error. I'd have more respect for the position if they just said, no, I believe the Quran is the Word of God and the Bible is full of lies, right? But when they pretend to believe the Bible, they're revealing that their position is in error, in my opinion. The secular world, non-religious world, however, rejects the Bible altogether. And in my opinion, therefore, unknowingly maybe, rejects really all source of truth. Let's go to John 18. I think Pilate had it right as an unsaved secularist. John chapter 18. that there is no foundation for truth outside of God. John chapter 18 and verse number 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, and notice his answer here. Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And so Pilate said what every secularist is really saying if they were true to their position. And that is, I can't even know what truth is. Truth doesn't even make any sense whatsoever. Matter of fact, that's why often you'll hear well-known scientists talk about the everything pretty much in science is a theory. There's really no such thing as truth, so to speak. They never really get there. In essence, the secular world assumes truth without any foundation for it. Nietzsche, of course, a famous atheist, Friedrich Nietzsche, or whatever, however you pronounce his name, I forget, but he suggested this himself. He wrote, But you will have gathered what I am getting at, namely, that it is still a metaphysical faith on which our faith in science rests, that even we knowers of today, that's what the word science means, to know, we knowers of today, we godless anti-metaphysicians, still take our fire too from the flame lit by the thousand-year-old faith, the Christian faith, which was also Plato's faith, that God is truth, that truth is divine. Now, I wasn't saying Plato was a Christian. He was saying Plato believed the same thing that Christians believe in this area, that God is the source of truth. And if you don't believe there is a God, you can't really believe there is such a thing as truth rationally. That's what he was saying. All right, but he was explaining that even though they don't believe there is such a thing as truth philosophically, in order to do science, they have to believe there is a reality, which is another way of saying truth, all right? And so the secular world assumes truth without any foundation for it. He was explaining that materialism and strict secularism have no foundation for truth at all. Rather, human perception, which we all know is flawed by just the very nature of it, our vantage point is not good. And so rather human perception becomes the final authority, which is to say that there is no final authority and therefore all truth becomes subjective. So it's like this. There's only two sources of truth from the human perspective. Either God is the source of truth or my perception is the source of truth. That's it. The way I perceive things. You ever heard the statement? Perception is reality. That is a philosophical statement of a humanist and a secularist. That's what they actually have to believe, even though they know it doesn't make any sense. Immanuel Kant, another atheist philosopher, wrote this, Truth, it is said, consists in the agreement of cognition with its object. All right, so let me explain. So the concept is, truth is reality, how the world really is. And so when I'm evaluating the truth of something, I'm evaluating my perception of it. And if my perception of truth is the final authority on what is true, well, then therefore I can't really evaluate it. Here, let me read on. Truth, it is said, consists in the agreement of cognition, my perception, with its object, whatever it is that I'm evaluating. In consequence of this mere nominal definition, my cognition, to count as true, is supposed to agree with its object. In other words, if I perceive it the way it's been described by others, then I believe what they're saying is true. So how do you evaluate the truth of a statement about an object? Well, you evaluate it by your perception. If I say this chair is blue, is that a true or a false statement? False. Based on what? Your perception of it, right? It's based on your perception. and based on my perception, right? So I can compare the object with my cognition, my perception, however, only by cognizing it. In other words, I only am perceiving what I perceive, all right? Hence, my cognition is supposed to confirm itself, which is far short of being sufficient for truth. For since the object is outside of me, the cognition in me, all I can ever pass judgment on is whether my cognition of the object agrees with my cognition of the object. In other words, when I'm evaluating the truth of something and I'm using myself as the final authority, then all I'm really evaluating is, do I perceive it the way I perceive it? All right? And so he was just pointing out the futility of this. And let me say, he was a philosopher who spent his life trying to understand those things. But he realized the futility of it outside of God. It was not possible. The problem is we all have to operate as if truth exists. There must be some reality, or how can we interact with it? There must be some reality, or how can you work with it? There is reality, we understand. It's a reality that if I jump 10 stories and hit concrete, I'm in big trouble, right? And you say, well, that's just your perception. Try it. Okay. So science is impossible without believing that there is some reality to discover. In a way, they cannot come to truth because they imagine that God does not exist, 2 Corinthians 10. So our source of truth is different than their source of truth, and so we think differently about truth. How do we get to truth as a Christian? Where do I find it? In the Bible. Where does the secularist, the humanist, find it? In his own perception. That's a huge difference. And let me just say, unfortunately, there's a lot of Christians who buy into the humanist philosophy that perception is reality. Perception is not reality, all right? Reality is reality, and my perception might be in conjunction with it, or it might be delusional, but it's still reality, all right? And that's what the Bible teaches, 2 Corinthians 10 and verse number 5. Casting down imaginations. We've already talked about this before. Imaginary things. I make a world of make-believe in my own mind that violates this book. I believe I can get away with sin. I believe I can be good enough for God. Some people believe that. Some people believe they can be good enough for God without Jesus Christ. Delusional, an imaginary world. Some people think they can violate the laws of sowing and reaping and have no consequences. An imaginary world. And let me just say, some Christians buy into this. And sometimes we as Christians buy into the thought that there is no eternal hell. And so we don't care about those around us. We just ignore them. Why? Because in our mind, we divorce ourselves from reality and we imagine as if there is no hell, even though there is one. This is an imaginary world, and we want to make sure that we're not living in it. How do you keep from living in an imaginary world? You read your Bible, you study it, you memorize it, you strive to know what it says because it reveals reality. It is a light. It is a light, a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, the Bible says. Why? It reveals the way the world really is. That's why the Word of God is so powerful. So casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Because what God knows, of course, is true. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This is how I live in reality. And let me say, our perception and reality are often two different things. It reminds me of, you know, stories you hear about pilots, you know, who operate by their in a cloudy situation where they can't see up and down, that sometimes they'll lose their bearings and they'll begin to think that down is up and up is down, and they'll start tapping their instruments. Hey, that isn't working. Hey, that instrument isn't working. Hey, it's not working. Must be something wrong with it. I better go the way I perceive it to be. And they'll crash right into the ground. Let me say, we do that as Christians. We have an instrument panel right before us, but we say, hey, God, it's not working. God, I'm trying to do right, and it's not working, God. Must be I'm right, and the instrument panel's wrong. No, it's not. No, it's not. And so we should, of course, make sure that we have it. We have a different source of truth. Our truth should be the Bible, and we should live that way. Instead, the secularist, the world, if you will, are left to wallow in subjective conjectures about the way things really are. You say, why? They leave God out. Now, that's why the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You can't get there. You can't get there. You can't get to reality without starting with the fear of God. You can't get there. That's why our public schools leaving God out is so dangerous. You can't get there. You can't get to knowledge without the fear of God, at least not knowledge that sees things as they really, truly are. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 2 Timothy tells us, ever learning in a different context, but the same philosophy, I think. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is the position of the world. What was the big saying in the 60s? Truth is relative, right? In other words, there is no truth. It depends on the circumstances. What did they call it? Situation ethics. There might be a certain case where it's right to do wrong in order to get a chance to do right. No, wrong is wrong. And if it's right to do, then it's right. It's not wrong twisted to the right, all right? For instance, if I kill someone in self-defense, that's not wrong twisted. That's right. That's what it is. It's right, okay? It's justifiable right. And that's, of course, the concept and idea here. So 1 Timothy 6 and verse 20 talks about this idea of something that is obvious to those who understand it. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. Why does he say science falsely so called? Because science means to know. But any good scientist will tell you, you never know anything in science. They will tell you, you never know anything in science. You have theories that seem to fit the data that we have. That's how they live. I'm telling you, a good scientist will tell you, they never know nothing, but they call it science, right? To know. And so this is, of course, the problem. And so modern secularists often view truth as humanly constructed. That's where perception is reality comes from. It is a philosophy. It's pretty much been abandoned today, but in the early 1900s, it was a big deal. Or pragmatism. This is a more of a modern twist on it. What is pragmatism? Pragmatism is, if it works, it's true. If it works, it's true. All right, now, in some cases, this in the natural world, in some ways, it kind of works, although not always, and we know this. Like, if you do something scientifically and it does what you're trying to get it to do, that doesn't necessarily mean you understand the mechanism, all right? But in this philosophy, it does. But certainly, as a Christian, we understand in a more, more human situation, such as how we deal with our children or our spouse, if it works doesn't mean it's right to do. And work, if it works, it can work and have a lot of unintended consequences. All right? That's the way things work in life. You could, for instance, okay, if it works, then it's right. So, okay, so for years and years and years, they put asbestos in everything. Why? It worked, right? But they found out there was some unintended consequences. People were getting sick from it and dying from it, right? And so they said, whoops, you know, now it's outlawed everywhere, right? And so this is the concept that we, or this is the reason that we know this concept is not true. So our perception is reality, or what works is true. Neither of these work, so to speak. So as Christians, we certainly should reject this. Our truth should be firmly founded on what God says is true. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse number 13. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, in reality, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So why were the Christians, or those who became Christians in Thessalonica, praised? Because when they heard the word of God, they treated it as it was in reality, the very word of God. And so as a Christian, I should think differently than the world. Why? Because I should think of this as the testing ground for truth. This is the testing ground for truth. Anything in this world, now there's some things that maybe I don't know still whether they're true or not, because they aren't really touched on in Scripture. But there are many things that are touched on in Scripture, and I can know them to be true or false. The Bible is the foundation for truth, and Christians should view life differently. This is why, for instance, in our modern day, homosexuality. When I was growing up, when you were growing up, homosexuality was wicked sin by anybody's estimation, practically. It was in the closet, literally, so to speak. Nobody talked about these things openly. But now today, to preach and teach against homosexuality is taboo. Why? Because man says, well, I don't perceive that it's wrong any longer. But the Bible still says it is sin. And so, of course, the Christian shouldn't change his position just because the world does. And let me say, if my position begins to change to the point where I don't agree with the Bible any longer, then I am buying in to the subjective truth of the world, which they already admit is not possible. Anybody, these guys who really understand this, Kant and the others that I quoted and others like them, they understand it is futile to try to do philosophy and science from their position in a truth-seeking manner. And so as Christians, we certainly should not change with the times, but firmly stand on the truth of God's word. Now, how about me personally? Now, in general, I should be different than the world because I'm a Christian, and Christians are supposed to be different, like light is from darkness. Where does that start? In my mind. I should think differently than the world. Why? Because my source of truth and their source of truth are two different things. Mine is the Bible. Theirs is their own perception and society's perception, right? Society's perception by peer pressure and media and all of that stuff kind of gets absorbed by the average person in the world. And God says we should think differently. Now, the question is, do I think differently? Is my source of truth the Bible? Do I stand firmly where it stands? Do I believe it is actually the Word of God? You say, of course I do, Pastor. I'm a Christian. Right, but do I really act like I believe the Bible is the Word of God? Or do I try to explain it away in areas of controversy? Do I try to talk around points of difficulty to others and explain it away. Well, evidence that I believe the Bible is true. Number one, evidence that I believe the Bible is the Word of God. Number one, evidence if a Christian does. Number one, they will read it regularly. I mean, that almost goes without saying. Matthew chapter 4. If I really believe that I possess the Word of God in my hands, I will read it regularly. If I don't read it regularly, then I don't really believe to the point of action that the Bible is the Word of God. Because if I realized what I had, I certainly would consume it regularly. Matthew 4 and verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The Bible teaches that the Word of God is spiritual sustenance, that we should desire, as young Christians, we should desire the sincere milk of the Word, that we may grow thereby. And so we are supposed to consume it regularly. And let me just say, it doesn't matter if I carry my Bible to church or if I say amen when someone says the Bible is the Word of God. What really shows my confidence that the Bible is the Word of God is if I read it regularly. If I don't personally read it regularly, then I am showing my doubt in its power, my doubt, and not my faith. The Bible is the Word of God. If I believe that, I will realize it has the answers to the questions of life. It has a purifying process that it does in my heart and life. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. I will read it if I really believe it. If I really believe that the Bible is the source of all truth, I will study it, particularly on topics, John chapter 5. Now, I think it's more important to read my Bible cover to cover on a regular basis than it is to study it topically. But I think when I read my Bible cover to cover on a regular basis, I will from time to time have some troubling topic in my life. I'll want to know. Maybe I'll have financial struggles and I'll say, God, what do you have to say about finances? Maybe I'll have marriage troubles and I'll want to say, God, what do you say about marriage? Maybe I'll have parenting troubles and I'll say, God, what do you say about parenting? And I'll start digging through passage after passage and writing out principles and thinking about these things to try to bring my life in line with the Bible so that God can use my efforts for His honor and glory. John chapter 5 and verse number 39. John chapter 5 verse 39. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Now we have it easy today to search the scriptures. I mean, think about when this was written and Jesus said, search the scriptures. I mean, to search the scriptures back then, you had to basically skim through all the pages. Right now, you just type a word in and hit search, and boom, in seconds, it pops up with every verse that word is used. And we have it easy. And so it's so easy to search the scriptures. But notice that he's talking about the topic of salvation here. He said, if you believe the Bible is the source of truth, then what does the Bible say about salvation? What does the Bible say about separation? What does the Bible say about witnessing? What does the Bible say about baptism? What does the Bible say about parenting? What does the Bible say about marriage? What does the Bible say about finances? What does the Bible say about politics? What does the Bible say about righteousness? What does the Bible say about sin? And let me just say, in almost every area of my life, I should be thinking, what does the Bible say? How does the Bible, what does the Bible have to say about music? What does the Bible have to say about dress? What does the Bible have to say about anything and everything? That's the way I'm supposed to live my life. If I believe the Bible is the Word of God, I'll read it. Number two, I'll study it topically. Number three, I'll enjoy hearing it preached and taught. Acts 17. Why? Because I want to think about whether these things are so. I want to consider someone's opinion about what the Bible says. Now, hearing it preached and taught is no replacement for reading it myself. And as the Bible teaches here in this passage, this is the way we're supposed to approach it. Acts 17 and verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that when they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Now, let me just say, those in Thessalonica were pretty good people. What did Paul say about them? He said, you received it as the word of God. But those in Berea, Paul commended them, or God commended them in Scripture even more, because they didn't just take the apostles' word for it. You know, they actually said, I want to know myself. And they searched the Scriptures regularly. And so I should be hearing, of course, the Word of God preached and taught, and I should enjoy it because I'm striving to know what the Bible says, and I'm striving to learn what truth is. Now, I may not agree with every message I hear, but I should enjoy hearing it. Now, look, if I don't read my Bible on a regular basis, there's something wrong with my thinking. I don't view the Bible as the source of all truth if I don't read it regularly. I don't. I'm using my own reason kind of as that measuring stick of truth. I'm getting a little bit of Bible, a little bit of friends, a little bit of preaching, a little bit of others, and I'm putting it all together in my mind, and I'm trying to figure out what truth is. Not much different than the humanist. If I don't read the Bible regularly, then I don't think I am living as if the Bible is really the Word of God. If I don't study the Bible topically, wanting to know what God says about a particular subject, caring about that. Now, let me say, most of the time we go through life, we just don't care about these things. Why? We don't really believe the Bible is the Word of God. Are you having marriage problems? Have you ever looked through the Bible and said, God, what do you have to say about being a husband? God, what do you have to say about being a wife? God, what do you have to say about parenting? Are you having a struggle in some area and yet you never go to God? Oh, you ask everybody else, right? Talk to everybody else. Well, I want to talk to the preacher and see what he says. That's not a bad thing. But let me just say, there's a greater source of truth than the preacher. Well, I want to go to a marriage counselor. Well, that's not a bad thing. There's a greater source of truth than the marriage counselor. While you're going to the preacher, while you're going to the marriage counselor, while you're going to your friend, also make sure you make a priority about going to him, to God who created you and made you. And so, of course, I should study it topically. I should enjoy hearing it preached and taught and talking about it with others, always wanting to communicate all the time. I'm out knocking doors in this area. I knock on the door and I say, do you know for sure you're going to heaven after a few minutes, inviting them to church from the Bible? And someone will say, oh, yes, I do. And sometimes they'll even say, oh, yes, I've believed on the Lord Jesus. I got saved in this place or that place. And then I'll talk to them a little bit about it. And sometimes they'll get to the point like, well, I think that's kind of personal and I don't want to talk about it, right? And I almost always point out to them and say, you know, in the Bible, in the New Testament, I didn't see any of Jesus' followers that didn't like to talk about it. I didn't see any of them. Because as Christians, we should be striving to know him. And this should be important to us. And so I should enjoy hearing it preached and taught. It is the Word of God. And then lastly, and kind of obvious, I should be striving to obey it. James chapter 1. The Bible says in another place, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And this is where we get ourselves in trouble, I think, as Christians often, is, and it all kind of fits together, when I know what God says, but I just refuse to do it. Now, normally that kind of comes hand in hand with not enjoying hearing it preached and taught, because it's convicting, not wanting to study it because I already know what he's going to say, not wanting to read it regularly because the truth is I want to do what I want to do in life. But I should be striving to obey it. James chapter 1 and verse 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Notice what it says. Deceiving your own selves. You're not living in truth. You are delusional. If we live and we know what to do and we don't do it, then we are deceiving ourselves. We're basically saying, I know better than God, and so I'm going to do it my way instead of his way, right? For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Now, we've all known people like this, right? You ever know someone who is delusional about how good-looking they were? I had a friend in college. Great guy, nice guy. But when he first came to college, he was quite backwards. He was from a small town, and he's quite backwards. And unfortunately, he had some so-called friends around that kind of convinced him that he was a dashing young man, you know. And they would get him to get up in the middle of chapel and ask out the prettiest girls that they could find in college just to see him get shot down, you know, in front of everybody. And for a little while, he was convinced that he was just something else, you know. And finally, it sunk in, probably the fourth or fifth time he did it in chapel. I think it began to dawn on him that they were pulling his leg. And the truth is, that's the way sometimes we are as Christians. We think that we are doing everything God asks, even though we know we're not. You know, we're not even coming close to what God asks. But I'm all right. I'm all right. God's okay with me. I'm not committing mass murder or anything. So God's okay with me. And so we should be striving to obey it. If I believe the Bible is true, if I have the right thinking, which is that the Bible is the source of truth, I will read it, of course. I will study it topically. Why? Because I want to know in areas of subject, what in certain subjects, what God says about that. I'll enjoy hearing it preached and taught so I can consider what the preacher or teacher, their perspective on the truth. And of course, I will strive to obey it. Is there something in your life that you know you ought to be doing? It's already, you've made a decision on it in the past, or you knew you should have, but you just haven't done it. Just haven't done it. Or is there something you're doing that you know you're not supposed to be? And you know it's wrong. You know it's wrong. And you just keep doing it. Then we're really not striving. And the reason we don't, look, let's face it. The reason that I keep not doing what God says to do or doing what God says not to do is this. I don't really believe that this is the Word of God, and it's true. I'm not saying I don't believe it mentally. I'm saying I haven't convinced myself of it in my heart. And that's what I've got to do. I've got to understand. Mentally, I acknowledge it. That's why, think about this. When you got saved, you put your faith and trust in God's Word for your eternal soul. Everything you have in life is less valuable than that. Everything you have in life. But so often, we as Christians won't trust him with the lesser things. And this is just illogical. But unfortunately, it's human. You know, it's the way we are as human beings. And we should be striving to think the way the Bible teaches us to think, which is that the Bible is the source of truth, the final authority for all faith and practice.